I don't like storms. Whenever I think about stormy weather, I think about driving. I don't know why, don't ask me why, but it seems like 9 times out of 10, whenever I have to drive somewhere a long distance, it storms, it pours down. And I'm stuck there driving in the rain for hours, miserable, often racing to get ahead of a huge 18-wheeler, because generally, I don't know about you, but when I'm driving, I like to be able to see where I'm going on the road, as opposed to getting sprayed by the rear tires of a semi-truck, my windshield wipers on full power to no avail. I see some heads nodding, so. It's interesting though, because I could be going on vacation, I could be returning from an amazing silent retreat where I just spent a week of great intimacy with Jesus. And but when the storms come, when I'm driving and the storms come through, I completely forget about all of that. And I go into survival mode, you know, it's like completely focused on not dying. And so I sympathize with Peter, and I think many of us probably can sympathize with Peter. Elijah, on the other hand, in our first reading, he doesn't really allow the storms, at least the literal storms, to distract him from the presence of God. But there are many metaphorical storms in his life. For context, because we only get a snippet of this narrative, for context, just before this event on Mount Horeb that we heard about in our first reading, Elijah had, as you recall, prevailed in that famous story of the epic showdown on Mount Carmel between the 450 prophets of Baal, the Canaanite god, you know, the equivalent of, say, Zeus or Thor. And Elijah had won a great victory. He'd won convincingly by calling down fire from heaven. But even this dramatic victory didn't produce the fruits of repentance in Israel that Elijah had wanted. Many of the Israelites were turning to false worship, to this pagan god, Baal. And even this great victory that Elijah won didn't produce the conversion in Israel that Elijah desired. And so now, Queen Jezebel was furious and had tried to assassinate Elijah. So just days after this triumph on Mount Carmel, Elijah, here we have Elijah fleeing for his life, and he goes to Mount Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai, the place where Moses spoke with God, the same mountain. And Elijah wants to know, what do I do next, Lord? He's ready to give up. Elijah's ready to give up. He's questioning his own vocation as a prophet at this point. He wants to die, it says. He's physically drained. He's emotionally drained. He's spiritually drained. And on the inside, he's upset with God. And he's wondering, where are you, God, in all of this? This did not go the way I thought it would. But then God commands Elijah to stand on the slope of Horeb. This is where we enter into our reading today. And wait for the passing of his presence. So first come those great phenomena, the storms, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. But God's presence isn't in any of those signs, those dramatic signs. God's presence, we're told, comes rather in a tiny whispering sound. Or as the old King James rendered it, a still small voice. And we don't hear how the story ended today, but after Elijah complains to God, God renews his vocation. He gives him strength and commissions him to go and anoint the next generation of leadership. And he also assures Elijah, interestingly, that as bad as things appear in Israel, there will remain a remnant, quote, 7,000 in Israel, who will maintain their faith in God. And that actually strikes me very prophetically and reassuringly for our own times as well. But let's go back to Peter. That's Elijah. Let's go back to Peter. So in this scene with Peter, very vivid scene, the storm serves as a distraction from concentrating on the presence of God. Peter takes his eyes off of the Lord, and he starts to contemplate all the wind and the waves that are lashing about him. And it's precisely then that he begins to falter. His faith begins to fail. What are those winds and waves in your life? You know, perhaps you were insulted, or you've gotten angry with somebody. It's a wave. You're focusing on the public turmoil of our lives and the world around us. Maybe you're listening too intently to the winds of the news media that hurl wave after sensational wave at us. You're reminded of your own weakness. Perhaps you made an awful mistake. You let somebody down. Maybe you let yourself down. Maybe you've broken a promise or hurt somebody with your words or your actions. And the storm rages on. But the readings this week call us as followers of Christ to recognize that all these winds and waves that toss around us, all of the personal turmoil and the public turmoil of our lives and in the world, are ultimately in the hands of the great I Am. I know our gospel today, the New American Bible translates Jesus' line as "It is I," but that's not, he said, he was walking on water, guys. He said, "I am who am." He was quoting the Old Testament. He was using the divine name and saying, "I am God." Take courage. Be not afraid. I am. And then he beckons Peter, "Come." Just as he beckons to each one of us. And the challenge for us is to focus on, not on the winds and the waves, but on the still, small voice of Jesus beckoning us to come. And we ought to walk toward him full of confidence and full of peace, concentrating on fulfilling our calling, our vocation each day, and not to capitulate to fear or to the chaos that rages around us, or the fear of our own fragility. I was reading the Magnificat for this Sunday, and there's a wonderful meditation from servant of God, Luis Maria Martinez of Mexico, who said, quote, and I'll end with this, "God does not cease being good because I am bad. Nor does he cease seeking me because I go astray. Whatever our failings may be, whatever our wanderings, we have no right to lose either hope or peace. We are Christians and have received peace as a gift from heaven, as a seal of Christ, that peace which the world can neither give nor take away. For I know that here is someone who loves me in spite of my infidelities. Someone who, when I wander, puts me back on the right path. Who, when I fall, raises me up.